Bruch Maboim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night shir. Tonight is Chav Beis going into Chav Gimel Cheshvan Tav Shin Pei Aleph, November 9th, 2020. This week's parsha is Parshas Chayei Sarah. I would again like to dedicate tonight's shir a refuah shlema for my father, Shlita, Reb Natan Tzvi Ben Sarah Miriam, together with all the Chayli Yisrael. They should all have a refuah shlema v'mehera. Amen. Tonight's shir, I would like to address the subject of building a solid and respectful reputation. I will glean from some of the beautiful material I've seen in the Sefer Bishvilei HaParsha. I'll be quoting Harav Hagoyen Elimelech Resnick Shlita and use some of his information as some of my own and try to develop an idea that I think is extremely important. The Gemara in Bava Metzia brings out the contrast between Avraham Avinu and Ephron Hachiti. This week's Parsha, we know, talks about after Sarah passed away and Avraham and Yitzchak were busy preparing for the burial of Sarah. We know that he was looking for a spot to bury her. He had his eye on the Ma'oros HaMachpelah, and when he came to Hebron and discovered his wife no longer alive, he met the people of that city, and the people over there, the Bnei Ches, offered Avraham with no reservation a place to bury Sarah. Like, I'll quote you some psukim over here. Shema Einu, listen to us. Adoni, my master, Nesi Elokim Ata B'Sarcheinu. You are a prince of Hashem among us. B'mivka Kuvarenu, with the best of our graves, Kuvar Esmei Secha, bury your dead. Ish Mimenu, no one among us, as Kivo lo yichle mimcha, his grave will he deny you, mikvor meisecha, from burying the dead. So, with such an invitation, Avraham responds, Vayidabi itam lemor, im yesh es nafshechem, if this is really your wish, likba es meisi, to bury my dead mufonai before me, shemu'uni, listen to me, ufigu li, and beseech for me, by Ephron ben Socha, by Ephron the son of Socha. And he should give me the Ma'oros HaMachpelah, which is at the edge of his field. And I am prepared to pay kesef moleh, a full price. He should give it to me. What was the response? So Ephron responds, no, lo Adoni. Rashi says, lo Adoni, no, for nothing. I'm not going to take any money from you. Shema'eni, listen to me. Hasadeh nasati lach. The field I have given to you already. It's yours. V'ma'ora and the cave asher bo l'cha nasatiya. To you I've given it. Le'eni b'nei'ami. In front of all of the eyes of my people. Go ahead and bury your dead. However, Avraham didn't want to take it for free. He did not want to have a problem with this property later on in other generations that may be their children. The children of Ephron would say, I didn't want to give away a piece of our Yerusha, our property. No, he said, I wanted this to be a sale. So Avraham declined the offer for free and says, I want to pay money. Okay, now Ephron saw the opportunity to go ask for money. So right away, Ephron, all of a sudden, gave Avraham a price, an exorbitant price, a price he couldn't get from anybody in his community. And he said, Adoni, my master, Shema'eni, listen to me. Eret Arba Meo Shekel Kesef, a land that's 400 silver coins. Between me and between you, what is it? You're a rich man. Doesn't matter. And you can bury your dead. Vayishma Avram, the pasuk continues on and says, Ephron, Vayishkol Avraham le'Ephron es hakesef, and he weighed the money, the silver, for Ephron, Ashidiba ba'artim b'nei Ches, that he said, spoke in the ears of the sons of Ches, Arba me'er shekel kesef over asochir. He didn't just give him regular coins, he gave them mint coins, the best coins. Now, Rashi makes a comment that on the word Ephron, at the time when Avraham was weighing the money to give it to him, Ephron normally is spelt with a vav. And this time, the word Ephron is without a vav. And the word to weigh, vayishkol, should be with a vav, and it's missing a vav, to show the discrepancy and the dishonesty in Ephron's response. The Chasam Sofer in the Sefer Torah Moshe brings down in the Medrash that the word Ephron without the vav numerically adds up to 400. The ayin is 70, the pay is 80, the resh is 200, and the nun is 50, a total of 400. In the word Ephron, we see the deceit, and because when we took away the vav, now if we want to see the contrast is so stark when you go back to the beginning of Parshas Vayera. And there in Parshas Vayera, we see Avram is the complete opposite. By him it's Emor Ma'at V'Yasei Harbe. As the quote of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it says in Perek Aleph, Perek Mishnah Tezvav, Shammai Omer, we're quoting Shammai, I'll quote the whole Mishnah, Asei Saras Chakeva, make Torah your established schedule of learning, Emor Ma'at V'Yasei Harbe, speak little and do much. The heavy makabal is called Adam B'Sevi Panim Yafos, and greet everybody with a happy countenance, a happy face. What is the difference of Avraham and Ephraim? Avraham is Emor Ma'at. What happened at the incident with Avraham? Avraham met the three Malachim. They were disguised as people. Right at the time when he was anxious to have guests come his way. And as he saw the guests, he ran over to them, bowed down, and begged them to please, Yukach no mat mayim, take a little bit of water, verachatu v'agvechem, and wash your feet, v'yishra'anu tachas ha'etz, and rest yourselves under the tree. Ve'ekho, and I will take pas lechem, a piece of bread, v'sadu libchem, and you go ahead and you will satisfy your hearts. Achatavo. And then you go on your way. And he just told them a little bit, come, just sit down and rest. As soon as they sat down and listened, Vayamahe Avram Avram hurried to Oala to the tent of Sarah. Vayoman, he said, Mahari, hurry, Shloisim, 3 measures of Kemach Soles, the finest of flour. Lushi, needed Vasi Ugos, I make cakes. This is not what he told him at the beginning. You're giving him a piece of bread and you go. And it wasn't done. Velaboka Ratzavam. He went ahead and ran after 3 cattle, and he had to slaughter each one separately so each one would get a delicious tongue just for each guest. And he gave them a feast. look at the stark difference, the difference between Avraham and Ephraim. He shows us what a personality is supposed to be. Speak a little and then do a lot. Ephraim spoke a lot and did a little. In the meantime, this tarnished his integrity, and this definitely did not fit well or go well. As we also know, that if he lost the Vav, and this is Mefarshim bring the sound, I have it in the Sefer Penine Das from Rev El Yoro Meir Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Levroch, the Talmid Rosh Yeshiva. He goes about and explains, what does this mean over here, to lose a Vav? A big deal, so you lost a Vav. It's a very, very big deal, because he explains to us that in the essence, the person, after he leaves this world, whether he's a tzaddik or whether he's a rasha, his neshama goes up to the right place, goes up to heaven in a place of truth. And let me go ahead and read you a few words over here that's important to see what happens missing a vav. Aleinu ladas, he says, we should know, ki kol hanivroim hanimseim ba'olameinu, that anything created in this world, ein shorashim v'haschaltam po, this is their shorash is not really embedded in this world. Their shoresh, their origin is really in the world above. Their real essence, he ruchnis, dakav niska, their real essence of every living soul in this world is not in this world but in heaven. And it comes down to this world as a davar gashmi, as a physical body. Even the Rishoyim, Gamma Rishoyim, Chaim, those are alive, Lo Rak Po, they don't live only here, but they have to go, their neshamas end up going in Shemayim, and they have to meet the heavenly tribunal. Nimtzahim Gamma Rishoyim L'mayla, they go up with their rishis. And the Chesaron Hama'at Shechosalahem Ba'olam Agashmi, the little bit that they are missing in this world by taking away one letter from the name, makes a dramatic difference in Shemayim. When they come up, it is an eternal bizayon, an internal shame, and the pain, which is endless and perpetuates forever. And Ephraim, because of his dishonesty in public, lost the vav, and that is what he's going to be suffering in Shemayim. So it's not a simple matter, the fact that a person lost the vav, but the dishonesty and the lack of integrity speaks for itself. So what we have over here is that there are two parts to this teaching of Emor Ma'at Vasei Harbe. To do a little is part one, and to do a lot is part two. Commenting on this Mishnah in Avos, we have the Meiri and the Rabbeinu Yonah say that when a person promises someone that he will do something, it's appropriate, it's derech musar, to do generously and to do more than he said he was going to do. Rabbeinu Yonah brings a source for this from the Avos D'Rabbanan, that Hashem promised Avraham that he would punish the Egyptians with two letters. One of the two letters, Don Anochi, as you're familiar, at the time of Bris Ben Absarim, Hashem said that the children of Avraham, our grandchildren of Avraham, are going to be enslaved for 400 years. The Pasuk says, V'gamez Hagoi, also the nation, Asher Ya'avaydu Don Anochi, I will judge. Now, Don is two letters. What does the meaning Don Anochi? Emor Ma'at. Hashem said a little bit. Right? Vasei Harbe. You know what the Harbe is? The Ten Makos. that took place in Parshas Va'era and Parshas Bo'i, and the splitting of the sea, right, in Parshas B'Shalach. The two words, two letters, Don Anochi. We learn from Hashem, Emor Ma'at, speak a little and do a lot. And Hashem is showing us how. So important this is, we have to learn to emulate this midah. The Medrash Shmuel and others explains that when a person commits to doing something, he always has to be concerned that he might not be able to bring his plan to fruition. The Mishnah advises a person not to say a lot for fear that he will be unable to keep his word or fulfill a promise to do a mitzvah. Don't say you're going to do so much and talk about it, because there is always the fear and the chance you won't be able to keep it. The Medrash Shmuel adds that the moment a person announces his intention to do a mitzvah, it causes a commotion in heaven. The malachim hear about it, and this certainly immediately creates a kitruk. It's like an objection to prevent the person from carrying out his plans. Therefore, it's better for a person to keep his intentions to himself, for that way it is more likely that the deed will get done. I also remember, this is something that Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would say. You should pick a mitzvah, but keep it a secret. Don't talk about it. The less you talk about doing your mitzvahs, the greater the chance you'll be able to fulfill. There is also another thing that is important to stress over here. And I will quote a quote from the Sefer Bishvili HaParsha, as it's written. As he says, I had heard an explanation from Rav Volbo that sheds light on the idea of Emor Ma'at, that when a person has a hisoris to do something, he has an arousement, a strong feeling to do the mitzvah, whether it's chesed or a devar mitzvah, a seder and learning, that feeling gives the person no rest until he acts on it. Remember, it's a hisoris, it's a feeling. But if the person talks about his hisoris, he talks about his arousement, about his wonderful feeling to do a mitzvah, and starts advertising it, he has already given it expression, and he loses the passion and urgency to actually carry it out. If so, just talking about doing something may cause it not to happen. This is exactly what happened with Ephraim. He spoke to Avraham Avinu with great kavod, calling him Adoni, my master. He went on and on about how he was going to give Avram the field, not only the cave itself, but even the field. But after all this talking, Ephraim no longer had the same urge to give Avram the field. When the time came to actually give over the field, he was no longer feeling so magnanimous, and he took full payment for it, because he talked so much about it. So we see, when we want to do a mitzvah, when we want to do things that are good, emor ma'at, it's so important to speak less, and then I say tov, do good. Just to give you I just thought of some example that might be interesting and relevant to our discussion, how to make all of this more practical. I gave myself a little list. I wrote down six things that could be many, many more, but what are good examples of speak less and do much? For example, you find people in shul, or choir volunteers in shul. They clean up the shvarim, they put the benches where they have to, they just fold up the talis very quietly. They clean up, if there's a shalashudas, they'll clean up, and they'll just do very nicely without a fanfare. Another example, people give tzedakah b'seisa. They give quietly tzedakah without the fanfare, without the publicity. They give, and they give it quietly because they want nobody to get ashamed, and they don't want to be recognized in public. How about people who are join Tomchei Shabbos, where hundreds of people get Shabbos food in packages, and they spend sometimes hours working in packages and packaging the food, and then they'll quietly put it at the doorstep and disappear. How about friends and neighbors who quietly help a friend in need, and many times they're not even sure who did it? How about a woman quietly sending a kugel or a supper to another woman and family who just returned from a hospital with a baby, or maybe after an illness? How about answering Amen in Shul after a Misha Berach, when a bracha for the person who was called up to the Torah is being said, or for Refuah Shelema, a Misha Berach over a sick person? Your Amen could be very, very quietly hidden, but it makes a very, very big difference. Emor ma'at v'asei harbe. Boy, does that have an effect. Unfortunately, people who emor harbe and don't do enough, they hardly do anything. Unfortunately, there are many such people. People who like to donate their money in public, and then they make announcements, and then when it's time to collect the money, it's very difficult to get their pledge. You know, you have people promising to help one another when they have free time, and finally the person needs that neighbor's help, and somehow it just never comes about. Sometimes it just doesn't work. What about promising children large gifts for Hanukkah and Pesach, and somehow it just doesn't work out? They can't keep their word. Promising a family going on a trip, and it just doesn't work, whatever the reasons are, and the children are disappointed. We have to be careful. Emor ma'at v'aseh harbe. We have to be in the habit of speaking less and doing much. This is such an important thing that improves our image in the eyes of our friends, families, and community, and it also substantiates our honesty and our integrity. That's so very important. But where do we find the opposite where we are supposed to? When we're talking about ourselves, emor ma'at, then we have to be very, very exclusive in what we say. But when we're talking about thanking Hashem, or talking about hashkochas Hashem, about the greatness of Hashem, we have the same parasha. This parasha, Parashas Chayei Sarah, is an unusual parasha, where we have the parasha that talks about Eliezer repeating the entire story that has happened to him when he finally meets Lavan. And he tells Lavan and the family in Bethuel how the event took place, how he discovered Rivka, and how he talks about how he bowed down to Hashem, and first he prayed to Hashem, and he bowed down when he found out that this was the girl that he was looking for. And the whole thing is repeated all over again. Where do we find this? The repetition in this week's parasha. The parasha is almost repetitive, and it's one of the longest perukim, if not the longest perik, in the Sefer Bereishis. It has 67 psukim. This is the longest perek in Sefer Bereishis, and it's repeating the whole story. You know why it's repeating? Because it's dwelling on Eliezer's gratitude to Hashem, and he's showing Lavan and Bethuel and the family how much he is so thankful, and he appreciates how the Hashkochas Hashem works so perfectly, that he didn't know who Rivka was. But he prayed to Hashem for a sign, and a sign that she would offer to give him to drink and the camel to drink. And all of a sudden, it materialized in front of his eyes. Where before he prayed, it didn't even dawn that he would find the girl right away. What's the point? When you talk about Hashem, then you have to be very generous. Be lavish. Don't be so limited. And we know this is from the Agudah Shel Pesach. You know, we are familiar with the Agudah Shel Pesach. You know, we are supposed to speak about the whole Agudah, about praising Hashem. We know what Chazal say, that at the night of Pesach, we know, Mitzvah Aleinu L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's the opposite. When you talk about Hashem, about His Hashkachas, Pratis, how He saved the Jewish people, how He's so involved with us, then you're supposed to be elaborate. You have to be generous, very generous, when you talk about the praise of Hashem, because we're constantly getting the daily infusion of Chesed by us living, breathing, talking, and living normal lives. The complete difference. And therefore, how important it is that when we think about this parsha, we have to think about how important it is to be honest, to be straight, and to live with the concept of Emor Ma'at Vasei Harbe, and we should be able to fulfill the requests. We have to fulfill the things that we have expressed with our mouths, and even more than just do what we've said. But we have to be elaborate, and if we say we're going to help somebody, go out of the way to help them even more. And when you know someone needs a hand, help them even more. This is part of Avos Yisrael. And this is where we learn the contrast in Parshas Chayisara that talks about Ephraim, who was very, very interested in himself. He was very self-centered, and that's how he tried to get the money out of Avraham. And the contrast to Avraham Avinu, where Avraham Avinu was Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbe. This is something we should take with us, and to know that we are always winners when we give people and we make people appreciate us. We make people happy with the things that we give, and people who are the recipients of our goodwill always, always will appreciate you and will definitely feel good to you, and therefore have much to thank Hashem when they get all the goodness from people who are always giving and ready to share. Let us always remember, we have to try our best to help each other, and never to forget, Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbe. Have a wonderful week. Kol Tov.